How many of you love the word of the Lord? Yes. Amen. I want you to go first to Isaiah. We're not going to go there right now, but get over to Isaiah. And so you'll be all there by the time I get there. Wow, has this been a week of whatever you want to call it? My goodness, I'll tell you what. You know, when Jesus was speaking in the book of Matthew, and he talked about the birth pangs that would come in the last day, those very birth pangs that he talked about, and in the old King James, it's spelled P-A-N-G, by the way, but it still means birth pangs. And as you study that out, see, Jesus spoke in parables, and the Bible says, without parables did he not speak. When he was speaking to farmers, he spoke as a farmer. When he was speaking to a fisherman, he spoke like a fisherman. But he could also speak toward the Pharisees and Sadducees, those who were steeped into the law and theology. And I mean, Jesus could just talk with whoever he was talking to, with intelligence, of course. He could humble himself to go as low as he needed to go and yet be mild and meek and humble and strong and powerful. And so when Jesus said, in the last days there will be birth pains, he meant that just like a woman goes into labor, her pains at the end, just before that little baby comes out, her pains get harder and harder, and they get closer and closer together and closer and closer. Ladies, you all remember that. How could you ever forget? They get closer and they get harder just before that little bundle of joy comes. And so this generation of people, Jesus said, this generation shall not pass until they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with mighty power and great glory. What generation? This generation that has seen all these things come to pass. We had to go to Santa Barbara the other day, and as we were coming home, somebody called and said, is everything all right? They had clusters of earthquakes happening down there. They were just rolling clusters of earthquakes. And so we know that we're seeing earthquakes and famines and pandemics. And, I mean, these things are just happening faster and faster and closer together and harder. And Jesus said that's exactly the way it would be. Is God causing those things? No, he's not causing that. He said, he had warned us that this is the way it's going to be, period. When Jesus teaches, I mean, we can just wrap it up. That's the way it's going to be. Now, we all know that our president is at Walter Reed Hospital with coronavirus. And that is an amazing result, an amazing thing. It's no more amazing than anyone else getting it. But he is our leader, and the nations are watching. And the nations would love to move in right now and do something to America while he's not out of commission. Don't kid yourself. This man is not out of commission. But would you stand with me today as we obey the words of Paul by the Spirit of the Lord? Paul told us when we pray to pray especially first for our leaders in government. So we're going to pray for our president this morning. So would you just agree with me and come together in one mind and one accord? Father, we lift up President Trump before you today. I pray, Lord, that your healing shield will come down over his head and over his lungs and over his heart. Father, protecting his heart and his lungs and his breathing. That you would remove this python spirit from trying to take him out. And Father, that you would put a healing shield around Melania, his wife, Lord, around his children, around the White House, around his staff, around the Vice President. Lord, that you would protect the Congress and Senate, because, Lord, there is a Jezebel spirit behind this thing. Lord, that's trying to stop a lot of things. And so, Father, we come against that python spirit from pressing the life out of him. We thank you that he's doing better. And, Father, we thank you that you will speak in to this president love and humility. Lord, he is a man of great pride, yet great strength. I pray, Lord, though he was not afraid to go into the hospital, He may have been afraid, but Father, he wasn't scared to go. He went. And so, Lord, we pray that you will give him humility while he's there. And we pray that you will fill him with your spirit, because you have called him to tear down, to root out, to destroy, and then to build up. So, Lord, we need this man in office to do those things that you have put him there to do. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that he will be the one full of the Spirit in this very hour as he leads this nation out against the enemies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Be seated. Well, thank you all for being here today, and thank you all again at home for watching. Please get your Bibles, get your notepads. Now, look, I really had to pray to see, should I deliver this message? I'm going to, and I'll tell you why. I get distraught and disgusted with the fathers and the mothers of the faith who don't have the boldness to go ahead and say some things that need to be said. And if we don't hear it in the church, where are we going to hear it out there? There's only one news source that you can watch that will bring you the truth. And if you don't watch that one, if we didn't have Fox News, we would not know the other side of this horrible story going on right now. You say, well, they're liars. Well, put all the others together and you'll find out they're all speaking the same evil. What does all of these things have in common? They have the left side of liberals. That's what it all has in common. Whether you like it or not, let me tell you something this morning, folks. I'm not an authority on this by any way, but I am going to be the pastor that can, I am going to be the pastor here that will speak to this house. Because listen, my mother and daddy were Democrats. I was a registered Democrat. And I'll tell you this, the Democrat Party is not what it used to be. Now, if you think it is, you're just fooling yourself. And they have just propagandized you up somewhere else, because I'm going to tell you right now, they're not the same. Amen. The old Democratic Party would be literally spewing this whole thing out of their mouth if they had known, even the old Blue Dog Democrats, what's going on in their party right now. Woo, it's quiet in the house, but that's okay. All I know is that last week, and many times before in these past 4 years, we've had a president that has made a call to prayer. He has called us to pray because he knows this nation is in trouble. And he knows if he does not have the prayers of the house of God and the peoples of God, he knows he's in trouble. Because he doesn't know anything about it. He is not a godly man. I believe he is a God-fearing man. I believe that he has welcomed and done more for the church and the freedom of religion than any other president we've ever had. Now that should have gotten an amen, whoever you are. Because he really has. He is defending the church. He's defending a lot of people, and this is what this whole battle is about in this last day. Well, last week, there was a call to prayer by Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham called prayer marches all over the United States. And you know the story. Last week, we prayed. We were online, but we prayed. In Washington, there was a worshiper that went there from Bethel in Redding, California, the Revival Church. Sean Fute went there, and they had over 100,000 people gather out front the White House to pray, the Capitol building. Over 100,000 went out there to worship, to worship. Then Franklin Graham, they called the prayer march, and over 50,000 gathered there to pray. And so the hordes of hell began to come out, and they were very unhappy what happened in the United States of America. They were very unhappy and tore up and stirred up from the inside out in hell, because we had prayer marches in our little cities, our large cities, San Francisco, LA, Porterville, all over the place. People gathered to pray and to worship. And that's why we saw the hordes of hell come out like locusts and like hornets, tore up from the floor up, because they didn't want people praying like that. And we did it anyway in Jesus' name. Some may have even done it afraid. We're living in the hours. If you walk down the street and you're praying or you're saying something conservative or holding up a nice sign, they could shoot you. You say it doesn't happen in our area. Thank you, Jesus. Not so much yet. But Satan, it's all about this. He hates God's glory. He hates his power. He hates his church. And he hates God's people. So this whole thing is all about that. Listen, can I tell you today that this next election is not about Democrats. It's not about Republicans. It really isn't about Joe Biden and President Trump. It's about the soul of our nation. And it's about the hatred for God and his people. It's about a lot of things, but it's not about Donald Trump, Biden, Republican, or Democrat. So remember that. If you don't get anything else out of this message, you've got to remember that, because it really is your vote this year. What we're going to be voting for is either socialism, socialism or freedom. That's it. Either freedom or bondage. That's what we will be voting for. Either Marxism or freedom. Marxism is behind this whole thing. And if you don't believe it, just begin to read it a little bit. Well, we were having a little staff meeting the other day, and I think it was Lyndall that said, well, you know, the Bible says that in Matthew that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. He said, yes, that's true, that's right, and that's what's going to happen in this hour. But we haven't seen a lot of that happening. You know who took it by force? Can I tell you? Madeline O'Hara in the 60s. One woman. She stood up. She did not want prayer in the school. And she took it by force. Roe versus Wade. The legalism of abortion. You know what that means. I don't even want to say it in front of the little children, but you know what it means. One or two stood up and passed that law. Why? They took it by force. How did Hitler get into all of his power? One man. He took it. The violent. He was violent. He was violent. He was violent. He took it by force. Oh, we could go on about the bad boys and the bad girls. But I want to get back to John's writings. He said ever since John the Baptist, that's been happening. They took off John's head, by the way. But little David, if you look at David, David was violent. Though he grew up meek and strong and powerful, and he had a heart after God. But that little guy took down demons and giants and bears and lions, and he didn't mind. This little violent kid took it by force because he had a force within him. Yes. And then there was Daniel that they literally threw into a lion's den, and the hungry lions were there, but he took it by force and he changed a nation. Because he had a right spirit inside him. And I'm going to tell you, church, today, we have a president of this country who is violent. And he does not care to take it by force. He does not care what anyone thinks about him. He didn't wear a mask. He was in crowds of thousands upon thousands upon thousands. We don't know why Joe Biden was locked away in hiding for days and days and days and had no crowds. Well, they were complimenting he's trying to stay safe. Well, maybe he had COVID. Who knows? So you don't know what they do because they hide things. We're talking about a Russian hoax that was hidden. We talk about so many things, and the media was in the whole thing with them, and And we don't even really know the truth from lies. Because you hear this propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. All I know is this man has stood, even though he was unmasked. He made a fool of himself many times to stand up and say the numbers, they're lying to us about the numbers. They're lying to us about this. So he was rebellious, but he got the virus. Well, most of us, if we had acted like him, we would have hid in the house and said, he's got a cold. He's got pneumonia. He's like, no, I have coronavirus. No, let's go. He went to the hospital. No, I've had the friends that die. I don't want to die. This man faces the music every time. Thank you. He has faced the music. And people, if you love church at all, if you love God at all, you better hear what your pastor is telling you this morning. He's the only president that I can remember in my lifetime that stood up in front of the UN, the United Nations. He stood up in front of all of them. He stood up in the, what do they call it, the G12. So he went to other nations and he stood there in front of them and he said, You have cheated on America. Why are we paying all this money and you're paying pennies? No, you owe America. I mean, he stood in front of all of them and said, no, America's putting her best foot forward. We're paying billions of dollars while you're giving thousands. This is not right. He stood up for America. That has changed. So you can't say he's lying on that. He is not lying. That is the truth. And they started paying. He is one of the few that stood up right there in the UN up in New York City, New York. Stood there and defended Israel and said, we are a friend to Israel and we will remain a friend to Israel. He's got enough Christian leaders around him, full of the Spirit, that tell him, I'm sure, if we bless Israel, we are a blessed people. If we curse Israel, we are doomed. And we cannot be doomed in this day. America's already looking in the eyes at a curse unless she changes her ways today in Jesus' name. Somebody? Amen. He's the only one that has stood up against communist China. He was talking about communist China even before he got into office. He was saying how crooked they were and how they took advantage of America. How that they were not right. And looked at Americans and laughed at us while they took our money. While they came into America and bought out many, many businesses and have many things today online that are evil and we're trying to get them out now. He's the only president that went into the enemy's camp of North Korea. Did you see it on TV? There was a line drawn. There was the border of North Korea. And he stepped over it, walked out into it. It was a big deal. He was the first one that had ever walked into North Korea. I'll tell you, he's a violent man. Who in their right mind would call Kim Jong-un Little Rocket Man? He comes from a heritage. Some people come from a great heritage, like Lyndall, from preachers behind you. Kim Jong-un comes from a heritage of Jong-uns, who are dictators. President walked right into the camp, went home, called him Little Rocket Man. He could have called him that to his face. He's a violent person, and the violent take it by force. He openly, not under the cover, even Republican presidents, all the presidents behind us, as you hear them talk about abortion, they would talk about it in soft tones, sweet tones, cover-up tones. We don't want you to know really what we think because you may not vote for me. It was all about the vote. This president stands up, even when he was on the debate stage with Hillary Clinton, and he used language about how that child was taken out, which again, I won't use here today. But he painted a picture for the American people just in case you're being foolish about it. Unafraid. Openly declares. Unashamed in the presidential debates. They would say, how many of you, the 17 Republicans that were running with him, how many of you, if this happened, you would do that? None of them raised their hand, but he would raise his hand. And we looked on him and said, he's a madman. The others, he said, how many would do this? Everybody raise your hands. Not him, I wouldn't. Why wouldn't you do it? And then he would tell them why. Unafraid. He just, one time Oprah Winfrey asked him years ago, you say, are you for President Trump? You better believe I am, because he is standing for freedom of the church and freedom of speech. She said, Mr. President, she said, Donald Trump, he was just a businessman then, a young man. She said, you better run for president. She said, I've never met a man like you that loves America as much as you do. He said, I don't know, Oprah. She says, you love America, though. And he openly defends it. This is a real amazing thing. Now, I'm not very old, but I've seen a few presidents come and go, and a few presidential debates. I've always kind of been interested in them. But one thing I've noticed with the presidents, they hem-haw around about their Supreme Court justices that they want to appoint. They always hem-haw around. I remember them asking Mr. Bush, does she believe in abortion? Well, we won't know until she gets there and takes her vote. That was the easy way. President Trump says, I'm electing Amy because she stands up for the unborn. He hadn't got a brain in his head. I'm bringing her in. Maybe she will let you keep your guns to defend yourself. You're going to need them. He openly defends his judges. He will tell you, I'm going to appoint this one. They asked Biden the other day, what judges are you going to appoint? Well, I better not say, I don't think I should yet, because it might, you know, stir people up. Bubba, have you looked around? I think we're already stirred up. You just need to go ahead and say it. See, because he would say, I'm going to appoint liberal judges that are going to continue in the ways of liberalism, socialism, Marxism, communism. I'm going to let it all be loosed. Oh, I know it's not popular, church, but it's okay. He openly declares the Judeo-Christian values that our nation was founded on. See, our forefathers, he's saying a lot of things that our forefathers said. Now they're beginning to try to take George Washington out because they found out he stood for these values. Abraham Lincoln, take him out. No, like Abraham Lincoln's the one that freed the slaves, but nobody's talking about that. How does the other party get the blame for that? It's just the craziest thing. They twist everything. You know what a Leviathan is? A Leviathan, the Bible talks about the Leviathan. I believe it's Job chapter 41, and Isaiah talked about it in 22. And a Leviathan had a python spirit. It was like a python, and it squeezes the life out of a person. And that's what this spirit of the python is wanting to do in this hour, in this last day, is put the squeeze on the church and put the squeeze on the conservative Christian, Judeo-Christian values, and shut God's people up. He wants to take our money, wants to take our speech, wants to take the guns, wants to take any values that may be right, wants to take the unborn child, which is absolutely out of this world crazy. The devil's always been about children. Tried to take Moses out, tried to take Jesus out, but I'll tell you what, he couldn't thwart the plan of God on Moses and Jesus. And he cannot thwart his plan on the people of God if we stand together, church. But if we don't stand together, I'm not just talking about Landmark. I'm talking about the entire church. Oh, I wish I had a big platform to stand on this morning. But see, in Virginia, they've already taken a stand against the church. They've already come against the ministries of the church, freedom of speech. I mean, in Virginia, if you told me it was California, I might believe it. But to think that Virginia, a precious state like Virginia, that's always held great values, good, hardworking people, to turn like this, it's like they've eaten the thing. They drink the Kool-Aid, you know, they've just taken it all in. This president openly defends the Church of Jesus, the freedom of religion. He says, pastors, you can preach the gospel, and you can preach God's word. You can preach the values of the word. He says to us as Christians, you can say Merry Christmas if you want to. That was one of the first things he said when he came in. You can say Merry Christmas now, because we couldn't before. It was odd. It was odd. It's weird. All these things that are so weird. Our nation, our president is literally under attack, and you and I know it. I've got a book in my library at home. I was thinking about it when I was on my way here this morning. The book was written back in the 90s, and it's called, What in the World is Going On? I thought, my goodness, if that author could be here today, that book was a little bit before its time. What would he say now? Well, I just want to ask us today, where are we headed? Where are we headed? You say, climate change. Oh, yeah, you're right, climate change. The Holy Ghost power, the Holy Ghost fire is getting ready to come on this earth, drop his power, his fire here, and everything will be changed like we've never seen change before. Now, if, as John said, the violent take up by force the church of the living God, how are we going to do that, church? Well, you and I, as I said, we're not in council seats. We're not in the mayor's seat. We're not in the presidential seat. But we can be who we are, where we are, and stand for the values of this word. We can stand. Everything that I've mentioned to you, we could have pulled up scripture on it. Everything, anything. There's no question about anything I said to you is not scriptural in the word. But I want to tell you today, the violent will take it by force. If Jesus said it, it will happen. There are some things we have taken. Right now, there's some things. Listen, when this little judge is put in, Roe versus Wade is going to be, abortion's going to be overturned. We've known that. It's just going to be overturned in this last day. It is. It's not going to survive. God is not going to allow the babies to be destroyed. No, he's just not. The church is not going to be shut down. She's going to be alive and well and full of an awakening, a revival. Reformation will hit the church. And for the first time, the church is coming together in prayer and worshiping, realizing what a privilege it is and how powerful it is. And now we have a president for the first time that will stand with us and say, no more, devil. No more. We never have that, but he's standing with us. He has the platform. He's not afraid. He is violent, and he will get out there and do it, but he's got to have our prayers behind him. Now, as I mentioned to you before, it's not a secret that he's a man of pride. Kind of reminds me of my big brother in a way. Don't tell him I said that. But I thought, God, could it be that you've put him over there in the hospital to shut him up for a little bit? Could it be, Lord, because though God has put him in office, and I'm going to show you something by the word. It's a parallel. But maybe God said, now I have put him there, and the church is praying, and along with his violence, we will turn some things upside down in this world. See, it wasn't all about Paul and the apostles turning the world upside down. Now we've just got to turn it back right side up. Or the things they've destroyed, turn it up. But could it be that he said, I want the world and the church to see that it's not by might and it's nor by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It'll be my spirit that takes this thing over. He will show it. God said, I will show myself. Now, let me show you. Israel was under a big mess. It could have been worse than this, maybe not as bad, because we've got many more people in our population in the world now. About 7 billion people in the whole world, 300 million in America. But it's a mess. It's just a mess. Go to Isaiah 45. There was one man who reminds us, and many of the prophets today, from Lance Walno to Jeremiah Johnson to Tracy Cook to so many of them today, have ran the reverence on Isaiah 45 when God called Cyrus to lead the nation out. Cyrus did not know God. Now, I think the president knows of him because he was raised in a Presbyterian church. Norman Vincent Peale was his pastor. See, that's why Donald J. Trump thinks he can do anything, because Norman Vincent Peale was his pastor. And Norman Vincent Peale he had the Power of Positive Thinking book. That was his doctrine. They went to all the Billy Graham crusades. His mother was a niece of one of the greatest revivalists of the Hebrides revival. In fact, he still got her Hebrides Bible in his office. It's an amazing, amazing heritage. There was a man named Cyrus that God chose to lead Israel out, yet he didn't know God like the church knew God. Let's read Isaiah 45:1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. Look at me a minute. He wasn't anointed. This man was a wild man. He was a Donald Trump. And yet God says, thus says the Lord to his anointed. See, God anoints certain people for certain service. It was an anointing to be a leader and to lead people out. He needs a certain person that has the boldness and the fearlessness to get up and say, I will go forth, and not cower when somebody wants you to cower. When China or a little rocket man, when anyone wants you to cower, you don't cower. He says to my anointed. The Lord says to my anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. Why? I want you to subdue nations before him. Our president's done that and doing it. I want you to loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you. I'll make the crooked places straight. I'll break in pieces the gates of bronze. And I'll tell you, if the gates of bronze weren't China and North Korea, I don't know what would be. We'll cut the bars of iron. I'll give you treasures out of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. You'll know, look, you, that you may know that I, the Lord, who called you by your name, am the God of Israel. Oh, you'll know, boy, by the time this is over, you'll know who I am. Look at verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect. It's still just like this. It's all about, he said, still for Israel's sake. You've been good to her. I have even called you by your name. Look at verse 4, the end of it. I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me, Cyrus. He just called him anointed. And now he said, you don't know me. I have named you, but you don't know me. Look at verse 5. He says it again. Whenever God repeats something twice, it's really, really important. Verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me. You don't know me. You haven't known me, Cyrus, but you'll know me when this whole deal's over. I have called you. He called Saul, and Saul was a madman. When it was over, Saul was called Paul. He literally changed his name. Wouldn't it be amazing when Trump comes out of this thing? Now, he's already bold. He's already strong. He's already unafraid. He's fearless. But wouldn't it be something if he came back out full of the Holy Spirit? He said, I've called you by my, held you by my right hand, but you didn't know my name. I've girded your mind, though you don't even know me. But we remember, church, we know this is not by might, nor by power, nor by man, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, amen. No man, no woman, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Somebody better give a good amen. Hallelujah. Though he's using him, he wants the whole world to see, because China has overreached. China has exposed herself. This liberalism has really exposed itself for what it is. The book of Revelation calls the devil, it says, the devil, that old dragon. The devil, that old dragon, has exposed himself. Now we're seeing his ugly Jezebel head creep up as he's trying to silence God's people, silence the church, kill the businesses. Let me take over the money of America. Let me bring them down to their knees. See, that's what he's all about. So, church, we've got much to do. Our Constitution defends us against the government coming in on us. We have a government constitution that was founded by these mighty men of God, mighty men of character and integrity in the beginning, men of God that put together the Constitution to defend us against the tyranny of government. And yet they're trying to come right in on us. And if we sit silent and we don't have a Cyrus at the top to lead us out, they will walk right in like troops and take us over. The violence on the street has gone unnoticed by who? By the media and by the Democrats. By the media and by the liberals. Not all Democrats. You know better than that. I'm not talking about all. There are still some that hold for what's right. But if I were them, I would leave the Democratic Party. Because you want to stand for the principles of God. Where are we headed? We are headed for this Holy Ghost takeover that God was talking about here. I want to show you one more thing. Go over to Exodus. And I'll start to close here. But I don't want to close without going here to Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. They were also surrounded by all kinds of evil armies, all the ites. Remember the ites? I'll read them to you in just a minute. Jesus is going to pay us a visit again. Because, see, he's coming back for bride without spot and without wrinkle. He's not coming back for a confused church. This church will know exactly what she believes, and she will stand up for the word of the Lord. She will not stand on the things that she was... somebody else had fed into her, things that are wrong, or the propaganda of her nation. She will stand for what God's word has said, if she knows what it says. That's why I'm taking the chance of being accused of being political this morning and one-sided, because some of you may not know what the Bible says. Where are we headed? Let me give you Exodus chapter 23. The Bible says all of these things were listed for our examples that we might know. Exodus 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before you. Why? Oh, I want my angel to go before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Now beware of him, that angel, and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, nor pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. He said, don't pardon your transgressions. Don't hold up for your sins. Don't hold up for the nation's sins. You better pay attention to this angel. Don't you be disobedient. Don't you just justify the sins of a nation just to protect yourself or justify. Look at verse 22. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy. Look, church, look. Look, America. Look, America. I will be an enemy to your enemy and an adversary to your adversaries. Whew. For my angel will go before you. Here it goes. He's talking to Israel. Man, they're surrounded. For my angel will go before you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. And you know what he did? He cut them off. But he had to have a bold people. His people had to be bold to be able to go in. Now look at verse 24. You shall not bow down to their gods. See, all of those ites had their own gods, their own religion, their own belief system, their own propaganda. You shall not bow down to their gods nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. I'll take this pandemic. I will take this coronavirus. I will blow it away. I'll send it away, but I'll cut all these things off from you, saith the Lord. Amen? All right, what's he talking about here? I will cut them off. You say, well, Pastor, what's looking at us today? Well, I've just named a few of them, not to mention the nations of the world, the Irans, which the previous administration in the middle of the night took billions of unmarked dollar bills, $100 bills, unmarked bills, and dropped them off a plane totally loaded with billions of dollars and took them into the enemy's camp and dropped off billions of dollars to Iran, the enemy of America. Can you imagine that, church? If nothing else, that ought to make you want to vote this time. You know what this violent Cyrus did? He undone that, if that's a word I can use. He totally untied it. He cut off our ties with Iran, put sanctions on them, and said, no, you don't. You may have got billions of unmarked money and spread it around to the enemy's camp, but we're cutting you off today. Come on. So not to even mention Iran and China and North Korea and Iraq and Assyria and those that come against America. God said, I will flip the tables. Where are we headed? For the Holy Spirit to come and change the climate, change the environment, cut off some of these things. What are they? Oh, today's media. You know what? I can't wait. I really believe this in my heart, Debbie. I think one day we're going to hear this media preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see it. I prophesy to you today. You will see this media preaching the gospel of Jesus. They will see the miracles. And the liberal agendas will be totally turned upside down. The impeachment theories, which was a total try to take down this president because he stood for Israel, because he stood for freedom of speech, because he stood for religious liberties. They hate religious liberties. Said, let me overthrow those lying impeachment theories and the Russian hoax. 4 years of American money, and they doubted our intelligence to think that we would believe those lies. Got to vote them out, church, in Jesus' name. God said, I'll help you. I'm sending the angel before you, but you better not give in. You better not bow down to their gods, and you better not serve them. Now I've got to go in and overturn Antifa and the rioters and defunding the police. Are you kidding me? The people that protect us, you're going to defund them? You're going to take them out? Are you kidding us? No, they're not. No, they're not. No, you know who suffers from that? The poorest neighborhoods. A woman being beaten up by her husband or a child, whatever's going on. It is so sad to think that we are living in a day. Who in their right mind can think that way, church? Who can think that we want to get rid of the policemen? I know there's bad boys, but there's bad doctors. Man, some of my mother's doctors, I could not stand her doctor, in Jesus' name. But I didn't quit taking her. She wanted him. There's bad teachers. There's bad politicians. There's bad people everywhere. But we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't throw all cops out because you got some idiots on there. The evil nations, the pandemic, the abortions, the silencing of the church. Those are all the ikes. He said, you go in and take them out. And the way we do that is with prayer. But he said, don't you dare bow down to their gods. That's why this building is open today. Because we're not bowing down to their gods, their propaganda, their ignorance. But you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. They're trying to build these up as sacred. This whole thing right now, this going absolutely insane, is about that one little Supreme Court justice. Oh my goodness, they are flipping their minds because they know she's going to overthrow some of those evil ways and take down their sacred pillars and their sacred cows. And they are going berserk. So thank God for a praying people and a strong people. Thank God that we have a president standing over this nation and standing with us. I pray that he is right, but I believe when he raises up, I believe God's going to help him do some mighty things that he wasn't able to do before. But now he will pull them off. And if you and I pray, America's getting ready to change. That's where we're headed. Woo! May the blessing of the Lord be upon us. He said, so now you serve the Lord your God, and he'll bless you. You just serve him and him only. There's only one to serve. You serve him. He said, and then I'll bless your bread and I'll bless your water and I will take sickness away from you. I'll just blow that old coronavirus right over anything else. There's a great, a miracle, healing, and supernatural glory that's going to be dropping down upon us, church, because he said, I'm sending my angel before you to keep you and lead you in the way that I have prepared for you. God has prepared a way. You say, when's that going to happen? Well, I wish I could have rewritten this a little bit different. But I believe we've already started. Exodus 23 and 30 says this, little by little, I'll drive them out from you until you have increased and you inherit your land. Little by little. You say, oh, Pastor Pooey, why has it got to be little by little? Why doesn't he just do it all? Because you're dealing with ignorant people. And they're going to kick and scream and kick their feet and throw fits. And it's going to take some doing, but it's already being done. Amen? So little by little, I just say, church, prepare your heart because we are headed for a great awakening. May the blessing of the Lord be on us. And we serve only him. My word for you today is be bold, as the old song says. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Would you stand with me this morning? Woo, somebody give God praise. Oh, God. If you say, Pastor, you just aggravated some of my upbringing, then just go home and pray for me. Would you pray? No, pray for yourself. Yeah, you can pray for me too, but just go ahead and ask the Lord, was your pastor wrong? Was your pastor wrong or right this morning? Get into the Word, read. Go ahead and read Exodus 23 again. God wants his gifts and his fruit of the church to be upon us, and that's where we're headed. He's sending an angel ahead of us to bring us where? Into the place he's prepared for us. Every single one of us has a place in him. We have a circle of friends. We have people that we know. Some circles are larger than other circles. Some are very, very small circles. But he said, I've got people around you and family around you that I'm going to have you touch in this last hour. And nobody can touch them but you. And so don't you bow. I know you live in families. There's not much you can do about your, you know, your friends. You can pull away if they don't believe what you believe and if they keep trying to. No, the Bible says don't argue about foolish genealogies and questions. You know what? Here's, can I tell you what Titus said? Listen to me for a minute. The book of Titus. He said when somebody wants to pick a fight with you, or excuse me, an argument, they just want to argue about it, a genealogy, foolish questions. They just want to argue about foolish questions. It says, answer them once and answer them twice. And after that, just leave them alone because they are a heretic. That means totally ignorant. Don't lower yourself to go into battle. Just leave it. But you be prayerful and serve the Lord and only him, and do not bow to the things you are hearing in this hour. Wonderful Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for every person in this room. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to remove the scales from our eyes. Lord, we sing the song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you. Yes, Lord, we do want to see you, and we want to see things clearly. Lord, like the old secular song said, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. But Lord, we need the reign of your spirit to reign on the church, to reign on us, your people. Reign in this world that we might see clearly, Lord. Remove all the fog and the smog out and the smoke that your people might see. We might see those values that we were raised on. Those Judeo-Christian values that our nation was founded on. May we uphold those things and not bow to the propaganda we hear this day. Lord, raise us up to be bold and strong, for the Lord our God is with us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let me bless you and then we'll pray one more time. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace. May he open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. May he bring healing over our homes and over our minds and over our marriages and over our nation. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for prosperity and blessing and healing in Jesus' name. Amen.